For years, Alabama was the standard in college football. My entire time as a college football fan, basically, they were always ranked number one. They were always the dominant team in college football that everyone else measured themselves up against. Year after year, if they did not win the national championship, they would either be playing for it or they would be right there. That was pretty much my entire teenage and 20s as a college football fan. Even if they didn't win the national championship, it was either a crazy play like the kick six, or they would lose to another great team like a Georgia or an LSU or a Clemson. So that's the Alabama. However, there is no question that since Nick Saban has left, the team has fallen off a little bit. And since 2007, in games where Alabama was favored by at least 14 points, Nick Saban was 131-2. Kalen DeBoer is 4-4. And so Alabama, I think, is at kind of a fork in the road. It's only one game, but after losing to Florida State this past weekend, I think they have to kind of reevaluate who they are. And we're going to start this podcast by talking about should Alabama fans start lowering their expectations? Great to have you with us. It's going to be a really fun conversation. I'll let you go first. What do you think about Alabama fans? They lost to Florida State, and they are not happy. They're already talking about firing Kalen DeBoer. Do you think Alabama fans should lower their expectations?
I 100% do, or think they should. I don't know if you have watched over the years, but like professional sports, there's a lot of teams that like have a great coach, and once that great coach leaves, they're not the same. For example, Phil Jackson with the Bulls, Bill Belichick with the Patriots. So, I think it says a lot about having a great coach and having a great program year after year, and like you kind of get spoiled. And unfortunately for Alabama fans, I think that they should lower their standards just because they don't have that great coach. The chances of them finding another Nick Saban or someone of that caliber are really rare. And the chances also of that of them like being able to repeat what they did over Nick Saban's tenure is slim to none. And so unfortunately, Alabama fans aren't going to want to hear this, but I think they should lower their standards. Not that they can't be a really good program that competes year after year, but not to that standard. I think that they probably have to lower their standards to like a 9-3 kind of team. Maybe they make the college football playoff, maybe not. But I'm not sure Kalen DeBoer is the coach, and I think Alabama fans are getting pretty upset, and I think they should lower their standards. But unfortunately, I don't think that'll happen this year. I think they'll have to go through a few more seasons to start realizing that and getting used to that. Kind of like Nebraska fans. So, yeah, I think they should lower their standards.
Keep in mind, though, Texas fans too have chilled out a lot because they had about 10 years where they were bad. And they used to be kind of like Alabama where they expected championships or bust. And they've really mellowed out over the last 10 years or so. Would you say the same thing about Texas? They kind of got humbled.
Yeah, 100%. I think up until what these last 2 to 3 years, they've been pretty humble. And even now they can't get over the bump or the hump, and so they've definitely lowered their standards over the last however many years. But their standards are starting to rise with their last play as of recently.
But as far as Texas, I would say they're not as crazy as they were. But what's funny about Alabama is I saw on Twitter this one person was saying like, "Oh, they were Alabama fans," and they're like, "Oh, well, college football, it's just not as entertaining as it used to be. People don't watch as much as they used to." Like, no, college football is just as entertaining. It's just you're not having as much fun as you used to at Alabama. An interesting stat I saw in Nick Saban's 17 seasons there, he lost to four unranked teams, and Kalen DeBoer, basically one season, one game, he's lost to four unranked teams. So I think there's no doubt they've already fallen off. I mean, they used to be like, again, the dominant team. Like almost no one could beat them, and that is obviously not the case anymore. And then as far as Alabama fans go, like when you look at the history of college football, there's really only one program that has not fallen off a little bit. And that's Ohio State. Every other program at one point or another, probably this century, has had down seasons. USC, Notre Dame, Michigan, obviously Nebraska, they're the poster child for it. But every other all-time great program outside of Ohio State, basically, has had downtimes. So Alabama, they're not special. And then also, people forget, before Nick Saban got there, they were bad. Like, they were losing record bad.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and so I think people kind of forgot that, and they assumed Alabama was always this juggernaut. But no, like, this is kind of what you were before Nick Saban got there. And keep in mind, like, they're still probably going to win 8-9 games this year. And I think it's just a matter of time until he gets fired, which is honestly not really fair, because I think Kalen DeBoer is a pretty good coach. He's just going to be the scapegoat for not being Saban. It was always going to be, I think, the next guy, and he is it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're going to measure him up against Nick Saban, and that's unfortunate because he's arguably the greatest college coach of all time. There's not too many other coaches in their category. But I think the thing for Alabama fans is that they want to admit the fall off, and I think it'll take a while for them to like accept the fact that they're not what they used to be. Not that they can't be good, like you said, 8-9 wins, but like to that standard championship every year, or like competing for a championship, whether that's in the semifinals or the actual championship, that's not going to be as consistent as it used to be.
But also, I don't think it's going to be, even if Alabama, if they're going to win a national title again, it's not going to be what it once was, because now that everyone can pay players, instead of Alabama having, you know, their second and third stringers be NFL guys, those second and third stringers will get paid to go to, like, you know, Ole Miss or something, and the gap is a lot smaller than it was in the past. So
even if NIL, I was just going to say, NIL has a big impact on the way this game is played, and we're seeing the effects of that with Alabama and other teams being good, whether for 1 year or just a couple years. So
well, I was gonna say, like, even like to your point with NIL, you're not gonna see a team win, they won like I think six titles in his 15 years there. That's probably not gonna happen again, because the leagues are a lot more deep now, and it's gonna be hard for a team to go undefeated, let alone win at such a high level. So they should be happy. Like, not really related, but both of us are Warriors fans, and if the Warriors never win a finals again in my lifetime, like, I won't be upset about it. I want them to, but I've seen enough to where it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, you want them to win it every year, right? But that's just not reality. And so I think they should accept the fact that they probably aren't going to string together 3-4 championships in 5 years or something like that. Like you just mentioned, it'll probably be like a championship here, which is still great, but just not what they're used to recently.
And then kind of finishing off this Alabama one, I'm going to go over their schedule really quickly, just to talk about, I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. So some notable games on their schedule, they play at home against Wisconsin, that should be a win. Then they play at Georgia. I would assume that would be a loss. They play Vanderbilt, who apparently Vanderbilt is a threat to Alabama now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they go at Missouri, who is usually a top 25 team. And then Tennessee, who's top 25. South Carolina, who's top 25. So that's probably three losses in their total. And then LSU, who's top 25. Probably a fourth loss. Oklahoma, who knows. And then Auburn. On the road. So there's honestly, I think, four losses in here for them this year, counting the Florida State one. Would you agree for this current team?
Yeah, it's crazy to think about this, but like a couple years ago when Nick Saban was there, it's like, oh, yep, that's going to be a win. That's a win. Yep, that's a win. Now, like with the new team and the new coach, it's like, can they win this game? Like Wisconsin, I don't know if that's as sure as like you think it is. I know Wisconsin didn't have the greatest year, but like still, they're a Big Ten team. They recruit pretty well for the most part. It's not a guaranteed game like the other past Alabama teams, and neither is Auburn, obviously a rivalry game. Same with Tennessee and South Carolina. So yeah, I'm not gonna put money on it, but there's a chance that they could be like a 7-5 team. I don't think they will, but like that's not out of the realm of possibility, especially losing the first week to Florida State.
That would be glorious. I don't even hate Alabama, like the program. I just, they won so much. They need to have some downtime. I'd be happy.
And the second biggest topic of the weekend was Arch Manning and Texas going at Ohio State and kind of getting worked against the Buckeyes. I was honestly surprised about that. I picked Texas to win. I figured Ohio State would have not a slump, but kind of a down year after winning the national title. Not that, you know, I still expected them to make the college football playoff, but I didn't think they were going to win that game, let alone they kind of dominated Texas. But the main story is Arch Manning. I mean, it wasn't his fault, but he was so hyped for the last 2 years. Like, Paul Feinbaum was like, oh, he's a generational talent. He should already be the first overall pick in the draft. But when I watched almost all of the game, and Arch missed a lot of throws. And there was more than one throw in the fourth quarter that he missed that would have put Texas in a position to win. But overall, Ohio State, they kind of dominated them, and I was really shocked by that. But people are giving Arch a hard time, and I think it's honestly unfair to him because he even said, like, guys, I haven't really played many games. And people are making him out to be the next coming of Peyton Manning, and just because of his last name. And he hasn't played a lot of games. So he was kind of put into a no-win situation. And there is so much pressure put onto him by the media, not even really Texas or anything, but just the media because of his last name. So he walked into this situation. He had a few misses, and then he didn't look comfortable back there, which, I mean, yeah, you could argue, okay, they're facing Ohio State on the road. Who would be? By the way, Nebraska had a lead on Ohio State in the fourth quarter last year, who won the national championship. Just wanted to say that. Texas didn't. But late in the game, when they were trying to go down and tie the game, I think it was third or fourth down, and he had a receiver running wide open, and he threw it behind him. Did you see that?
Yeah, which time? I think yeah. The third and five.
I thought it was the third down where he had a receiver open in the flat, and he threw it behind him.
Because they didn't convert the next play, right?
Yeah. It's like you got to make those throws for him. So first thing I have to ask you, what did you think of Arch's performance overall?
Yeah, so like you said, it's not Arch's fault. I think he's going to be great. I also don't think he's as bad as he performed out there against Ohio State. I actually think he can be one of the top quarterbacks. It was just a tough game for him going to Ohio State on the road. That was his first road game, like, that he's ever started. So, like, you got to give the guy a little bit of leeway there. And then, like you said, the media was so high on him. It was ridiculously high, just like you said, just because of his last name, Manning. And so while he missed guys, threw balls in the dirt and overthrew them and threw behind them, that wasn't a great look. I expect him to be way better. I bet you this is probably his worst game of the year. I bet you he only moves up. But as for this game, it was just a rough game for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a great quarterback too. But I think my point is, like, when people hype him up so much when he hasn't played much, you're kind of doing him a disservice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think that because of how hyped up he was, made the situation worse, like you just mentioned. I definitely think that if he wasn't as hyped up as much and people were, if he was, let's just say his last name wasn't a Manning and that he was just the next whatever good Texas quarterback, people wouldn't be as down on him. But I think just the fact that his name is Manning how bad he performed is not a good look for him so far. But I expect him to turn it around.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. He's got all the tools, but as far as, like, the Manning thing goes, like, even if he turns out to be just as good as they were, like, Eli Manning was not great in college, right? Peyton Manning was. He should have won the Heisman, I think, in 1998. But I digress. The point is, like, even if he's going to be that great quarterback, like, his uncle, Eli, was not that great in college. So we have to keep that in mind. I think he's going to be fine. They're going to play San Jose State next week. And, of course, they're going to, I'm a San Jose State alumni, so they're probably going to get angry Texas team, so that's not going to be fun. I think they might hang 70 on the Spartans, but it is what it is. Anything else you want to say about Arch?
No, it's only uphill from here.
All right, and then the last thing, we are both Husker fans. I watched Nebraska beat Cincinnati. In typical Husker fashion, it was a gut-wrenching game. they came out and they played pretty well. They controlled most of the game, and then they let Cincinnati back into it. And so I thought Ryola played well. I thought overall the team, it like seemed like they won 70% of the plays. A lot of Husker fans are not happy, though, because the defense kind of got shredded by Cincinnati in the second half.
Yeah,
I think you can chalk that up to first game. And also, Cincinnati has some good players in key spots. I never bought into people saying, like, oh, Nebraska's going to blow them out. Like, no. They're a Big 12 team. It's the first game of the season, and that's kind of what I expected. So do you have any thoughts on the Husker game overall, and are you concerned with the close win over Cincinnati?
No, not at all. I think they played really good for, like, let's say, 80% of the game. They did have, obviously, some hiccups, a couple of bad plays here and there, one on Ryola, but for, like, the most part, Ryola played really well. Other than that one almost pick six that the guy dropped.
On a fourth down, like his desperation throw.
Yeah, he looked through all of his options, and that one he was open at first, but he's got to it too late, and the guy jumped the read, and yeah, it didn't work out. But other than that, I can't really think of anything else I can like put negatively on Ryola. He played a really, really solid game, and the whole offense did for the most part. They really ran the ball pretty good. They controlled. The only thing I would need to get better on is just situational penalties.
Well, yeah, Sorsby, their quarterback, he was the leading rusher for Cincinnati, but also I think he had like 80 yards passing. But you would, like, if I were to just tell you those stats, you would assume Nebraska blows him out and they don't score a lot. But no, they actually scored more than we've liked. And I mean, people were kind of criticizing him. He was like, people were saying, you know, you're killing them running the ball, and then why would you throw that deep pass when you haven't really done that the entire game? But you know what? I'm not mad about that, because there's been so many games where Nebraska was on the other end where it's like, oh, they're going to tie it or win the game, and then like a fumble or an interception or something. So football gods owed us that one. And then lastly, both of us predicted Nebraska to go 9-3. I predicted them to beat Michigan, although after this first game, I'm not quite as confident in that. I still think they will. I think it's going to be the most important game on their schedule. But I also think the Cincinnati game was not going to be the best game they play this season. So assuming they get better, then yeah, I feel confident in 9-3 still. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. So if you listen to this, we appreciate you, and we will be back with more content very soon.